It is 4 p.m. on a beautiful Thursday. We just got a whole lot of rain, which is so welcome. And you are tuned to Katie and Kay. My name is Raleigh Burley. I am your host here on Everything Under the Sun. Joining me is co-host
Yesenia Benavides,
who is famous. She was in the newspaper this week, page 2. Congratulations on graduating. And we have several guests here in the studio today. We'll begin with Brian Frelick, who is the Aquatics Health and Wellness Coordinator here at the Carbondale Rec Center and the soon-to-be Aquatics Center. Brian, how's your day going?
Going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for making some time. And also a big thank you to Town Manager Lauren Gister, who is very busy and gracious enough to join us on the radio. How are you doing today, Lauren?
Great. Thank you for having us.
And last but not least, Liza Logan, who is the Youth Representative on the Parks and Recreation Board. How are you, Liza?
Good, how are you?
I saw your name quoted in the article by Gus Richardson, formerly a Soper Sun youth correspondent, now graduated to a full-on correspondent. So congrats to Gus. He could not join us today, but we're happy to have Yesenia here and also excited to talk about the new aquatic center. So we are in our second summer here in Carbondale without a pool, unfortunately, but I have been told it is very certain that by next spring we will certainly have a new pool. And not only that, a much improved pool. I was reading in this article that there will be a hot tub that fits 16 people. That's a lot of people in one hot tub.
A lot of people.
And I think one of the major improvements for people who were familiar with the older pool, where you had adult swim time and then recreational fun swim time. But it was all confined to one body of water. And so people had to kind of plan their schedules accordingly. This time, now we will have a recreation pool designated, always recreation, as well as a lap lane pool. And Brian, since you're going to be kind of the coordinator of this new facility, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other features that you're excited about?
Yeah, we'll in the lap pool, we'll have some fun play features. We'll have the climbing wall and the diving board both. But then, you know, we're also looking forward to a lot of the cool program we're going to be able to offer. We're already talking with the Roaring Fork Kayaking Club about getting them in to do some programming during the year at some point. And then also looking forward to the fun classes we'll be able to offer and the fun programs. You know, we'll have some swim meets there, we'll have, you know, potential kids nights there and some other programs like that. And then, you know, on top of that, we'll have some great fitness classes too for water aerobics and looking at potentially a yoga paddleboard class too.
A yoga paddleboard class. Very cool.
Yeah.
And you mentioned kid teen nights, so what does that look like?
Yeah, so we're so early on in this process still too for trying to figure out programming and everything with, you know, not knowing, you know, who's going to want what and when, but, you know, potentially looking at nights that are, you know, kid orientated and have some fun water games and opportunities for the kids to enjoy themselves a little bit more and take a break for parents too, give them the night off for a little bit.
Well, and as we've gone through different iterations, it seems like most of the desired features have made it into this final design once we get over the fundraising hurdles. Is the climbing wall still in there?
Yep, climbing wall is still in there. We got the diving board in there. We're working through the floating features in the entertainment pool, too. And then we got a volleyball net that's going to make its way in there, too, and some plumbed play features too, so, you know, some spray features in the zero entry area.
Cool. Yesenia, what do you think of all that?
That sounds really interesting, but I have a question. I'm not really sure how this whole plan came to, like, the aquatic center to, like, officially start. Sorry. Does that make sense? do you?
Well, I think I'm understanding your question. Like, why was it necessary to replace the pool in the first place?
Yeah, so the pool, this was before all it came on, but the pool was, you know, a 50-year-old pool that unfortunately, as we approached the last summer that we were open, there were more issues than we wanted to be having, and, you know, everything was starting to fail, and, you know, that's what happens when you have a 50-year-old pool is you got to redo stuff, and sometimes it's easier to just start fresh rather than continuing to put Band-Aids on it over and over again. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision that it was better to start and tear down that pool now and spend two summers without it rather than wait till we got everything fundraised and wait till then to do construction. So we're on the ground running, and we got all the pools built except the hot tub so far, and they're working through brickwork on the building today as we speak.
Cool. Lauren, do you have anything to add to that?
I was just going to say that this pool project and the knowledge that we were going to have to replace this aging pool is about, I believe, 8 years in the making. You know, in government, everything goes very slowly, but it was, you know, just at the end of its life. Mm-hmm. And you can fix things only so long, and then it becomes absolutely just not even responsible to try to keep putting Band-Aids on. Mm-hmm. So knowing that we needed a new pool, the town went through a big process to talk to the public, find out what they wanted for a pool, what they thought the priorities were, even as much as does the pool stay in the same place or does it move? And so this is the culmination of that whole process. And they developed a master plan, and then they had to figure out how much it was going to cost. And when I came here in early 2022, they had gone through all of that, and they were just starting the process of figuring out whether they were going to issue a bond to pay for the pool, what have you. So we had a quote of $7 million. We padded it up to $8 million, thinking that would be plenty. And then the last 5 years of construction costs and COVID and inflation and everything else just blew all those numbers out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And now the final cost is about... like $11 million.
It's about $13,400,000, mm-hmm. But that is not just construction costs. That's also the engineering, the design, the landscaping, the mm-hmm. architecture. You know, that's the entire cost of the pool, not just the building of it.
Well, and in order to achieve that funding goal, there have been fundraising efforts underway now for over a year.
Correct.
And we are under $1 million left to raise. So I was informed $856,000, give or take, is what is left to have all of the fun features that people wanted in the pool. So if you'll speak a little bit and even make the pitch for people who are listening now. I see that a contribution of $1,000 will get your name on a plaque, and so people will see and recognize that you cared about the pool into the future until there's a need for a new pool someday.
We figure this is a 50-year investment. Absolutely. You know, municipalities are not really in the business of fundraising. Mm-hmm. We're not a standard nonprofit like, you know, some of the others in town. But the town knew that $8 million of a bond was not going to be enough. They put a good deal of money from the general fund toward the pool, and that still did not leave enough money to get the extra features that the town was looking for. Some of those are the play features, the diving board, the climbing wall, etc. Some of them are the things that really gel with the priorities and the goals of Carbondale with regard to our environmental footprint, adding extra solar, on the building, making it an all-electric building, mm-hmm. getting rid of the natural gas on the site. Those things are all what pushed it up into the extra mm-hmm. Category.
And it will be the first pool in Colorado of its kind to be all-electric?
I believe that it will be the first all-electric pool in Colorado.
That's something to celebrate.
It is. We're very excited about it.
Well, Liza, I'd love to hear from you, too, as the youth representative on the Parks and Recreation Commission. What do you take away from this whole process? What are you telling your friends about the new pool to come? What are your feelings about all of this?
I would say my brother worked as a lifeguard for the Carbondale pool 2 summers ago before it closed. And my friends have worked there, and I remember in 8th grade we made cardboard boats and we raced them across the pool for our like continuation ceremony. And everyone that day was laughing about how the slide was like sort of held up and maintained by duct tape. And so I think that I at least I'm like personally I'm really excited to see it sort of rejuvenated and be ready to like have another life, because I know so many people that have like, between its breakages, been kind of like inconvenienced by that, and just like how this pool has been just a really big part, I think, of the Carbondale community for so many years. One of my best friend's mom, she grew up here, and she was talking about how when she was a kid that was her pool too. And so I think that that's something that's important to like our town identity, but also just for recreation and kind of just the health of the town in general. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see it kind of brought back to life.
When I read a quote from you here in the newspaper, your interview with Gus Richardson, about just that importance of us knowing how to swim here. So I grew up in Carbondale also and took swimming lessons in that pool. And the river isn't a very safe place to learn how to swim.
Yeah, no.
But most of us will spend time in the river at some point. So having a safe place for people to wade in and learn the ropes.
Yes, totally. My brother's now lifeguarding at RVR this summer, and he came home a couple nights ago talking about how the community school had done like their triathlon over at RVR, and he was talking about how cool it was that all the kids were swimming in the lap pool. And my mom was like, well, what about the kids who don't know how to swim? And then that just brought me back to like what you were saying about how that's an important skill, no matter like where you come from and where you're going to end up, because I think that water's everywhere, and you kind of got to be prepared for all of that. Mm-hmm. And that can also, just like knowing how to swim, it opens up so many new doorways for like recreation and sports and all of that stuff that I think everyone should have access to.
Mm-hmm. Lauren.
I just wanted to add, I've told this story a few times at some fundraisers, but I do think it's important for us to acknowledge there are a lot of public pools in this part of Colorado. Not every town has one, but there are quite a few. When I was growing up, I was living in Southern California, and there was a public pool that was open in the summer. It was basically the high school pool that got converted to a public pool when school was out. But when I moved from there at 14, I never again lived in a town with a public pool. It is quite unusual. There are millions of private pools in people's yards and, you know, clubs and, you know, things that people have to pay tuition or membership fees to access. But there aren't that many public pools. And if you haven't done a lot of traveling or you haven't lived in a lot of places, you might not realize that this is an incredible asset that we have. And it's not necessarily the norm. We're very, very lucky to have it. And we want to keep it as a great asset for our population.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. For folks who are just joining us, this is Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. And we are speaking with Brian Frelick, Lauren Gister, and Liza Logan, all representing different aspects of bringing a new pool to Carbondale. I was excited to hear that construction update, that bricks are already being put on the building. I think it's hard to tell from behind the fence just how far along it's come. But I did also see that there's a time lapse, and it's been a while since I looked at it, of the construction on the construction website. So I'm sure people could probably find that maybe on the Make a Splash campaign website.
Absolutely. Well, the Carbondale Connect website will have the update on the pool project. I'll have to look at it and make sure that it is actually up to date. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up with those things, but they are on schedule. Mm-hmm. And they're out there working every day.
And so is there a date that you're hoping to have all the money fundraised by, or is it sort of a rolling thing?
We do have, we've offered the opportunity for people to do multi-year pledges. So we probably will not have all of the money in hand this year, but we are really hoping that 99% of the fundraising process is done by the end of this summer.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you'll take donations of any amount?
We will.
I heard that you got off the call, or that Brian, you were on a call earlier today, and somebody pledged $10,000.
Yeah, so today alone, we've had a couple different donations trickle in, anything between, $50. And as you mentioned, I took that phone call for $10,000 too. And one of the big things with those larger donations of 1,000 above is, the opportunity to keep your name on this building for time to come and be a part of this project and, show off that you supported the community in a new and unique way. And, that one's one that's running out of time a little bit. As we get closer to the facility starting to finish up, we're going to hit a point that we have to put that sign up and get that sign up. So, my big push to people would be is, if you want to be a part of this facility and see your name up there, your kid's name up there for years and years to come, is get your donation sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's really sweet. The article mentions a $5 donation. Maybe, Liza, you told Gus about that happened when there was tabling at some event and a young person.
I was present at that.
Okay.
Were you there that day?
I wasn't, but...
First Friday, mm-hmm. and we had a table set up in town, and a pack of young men who are maybe 11, 12 years old came up to the table and started pulling money out of their pockets, and one little boy handed a $5 bill over and said, please, 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 can we have a diving board?
Ah, sweet.
So,
and there is a diving board. I did notice there's no slide, though.
There is no slide on these plans.
Mm-hmm. Is that a very deliberate choice?
I don't know the choice behind a slide or not a slide, but I can say, we have all those great other features that are going to make it a blast to be there, between the lap pool and the entertainment pool.
Mm-hmm. I think they had to pick between the two, and I don't know whether that was on the survey, whether there was a choice between a slide and a diving board, but those types of elements can always be added, changed, what have you, in the future, but there isn't room to have all of them at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, tell me about the staffing efforts. Will there be like kind of a big recruitment campaign to get lifeguards next spring?
Yeah, we'll make a big push, and it'll be before the spring, actually. We got to make sure they're up and ready to go with their certifications before we're open, and probably looking at end of the year, early January, getting that effort going. And, one of the big pushes I want to make is, we have such a strong community that doesn't speak English as their first language, that, offering swim lessons or even just having our lifeguarding staff, I want to make a big push to have, strong speakers of other languages out there, and, be able to support them and have them support our community and continue to offer water safety for not just a small group of people, but for everyone that's a part of our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard you at a recent meeting, Brian, mention that there will be a longer season for this pool as well.
Yeah, so that was one of the big pushes with this pool renovation, was offering equipment that would allow us to go for a longer season. You know, what that season looks like, we're still working to try to figure that out. It'll be based in staffing. It'll be based in, you know, what is economically smart for the town to work through too. So, you know, we won't have a year-round pool to start with, you know, being that it is all electric. You know, we have rough numbers for what we're going to look at to be spending on, you know, the operational costs of heating this pool and running the building. But those are all just guesses right now, unfortunately, too. So we have to take the time and make sure that we look it over and, you know, see what we're spending each year on electricity for this pool to heat it up and keep it going and, you know, figure out what it falls with staffing, too.
If I could add a little bit to that, right now the goal is to have the entertainment pool open for the standard summer season. Mm-hmm. But the lap pool, because that people don't care if that's a little bit colder, because those people are working, that could potentially open earlier and close later, possibly even till early to mid-October. And the same thing with the hot tub spa. Mm-hmm. That would have a longer season as well. So the entertainment pool would close down potentially, at least in today's plan. Mm-hmm. But the lap pool and the spa would be open longer.
Cool. Yesenia, what do you think of all this?
It sounds really interesting. And I had a question about the entertainment pool. Mm-hmm. Is it like all just like for younger people or like for anybody? Like who...
It's for anybody. It's a play pool is what it is, so that you don't have to be swimming laps to just go in and play. I believe the depth of the entertainment pool is 5 feet in the deep end. It's
correct.
Not a particularly deep pool, and it starts at sort of a zero entry so that, you know, babies and toddlers can stand up and or sit in the water and still be safe.
And I see the diving board is actually part of the six-lane lap pool.
The reason that we had to do that is because in order to have a diving board, the pool has to be 12 feet deep.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So that was, I'll say primarily, not 100%, but that was primarily a cost issue because the entertainment pool is bigger and there's a lot more water that would have to be displaced in that bigger pool. And it also, because of the gradient to get down to 12 feet, the pool potentially would have to be bigger than it is planned for. Mm-hmm. And that's a very small site with three pools and a building on it.
I'm not sure if I could ask, was there, like, any difficulties with, like, spacing? Because I believe the old pool used to be a lot smaller.
I don't know, Brian. You might be able to answer this as far as the dimensions of this entertainment pool versus the old entertainment pool. I don't know that off the top of my head. But you'll see when you're on the site, the pools are very close together. I believe they're from one body of water to another body of water. In between, there's concrete, but it's only about 8 feet. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of room in between the lap pool and the entertainment pool. So it's very cleverly designed to make sure everything fits.
I don't remember off the top of my head what the dimensions of any of the pools are, old or new, but I know roughly we've doubled the water volume that is, you know, available between all of this in there. And, you know, this, as Lauren said, you know, it's close together, but, you know, it is spaced out well enough that, you know, we got it to work, and there's going to be room for seating around the pools too. So there will be lounge area, we'll have some grass area with some umbrellas covering it, and, you know, we'll have some tables up front too by the entrance for eating and enjoyment too.
Yeah, this to me seems like a really great example of the town taking public input, and even if it wasn't convenient or easy, really trying to address all the desires that came through those surveys and came to the top. So it was a bit of a puzzle for the architects, but they've pretty much delivered everything people asked for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It also helps that many of the people that we're working with, architects, landscape architects, et cetera, they know our town. Mm-hmm. They're local. They're not, they know how important this pool is and how it's been used in the past. So that's been very helpful for us.
Well, we have just a few minutes left. Any closing thoughts? We'll start with you, Liza.
I guess I would just, to anyone who's listening, I would just ask to really think about donating, because I think a pool is just so central to who and what Carbondale is as a community. I think that maintaining sort of recreation and aquatics, that's something that a lot of people who live here are really into, and I think that donating is a really great way to give back to this community and to sort of secure its awesome benefits for all of these young people out there who really love having a pool, and this summer and the past summer are missing it. So,
cool. Lauren, closing thoughts?
I know this quote is on some of the paperwork. I said it a long time ago. I still believe it wholeheartedly. This is a real community pool, and Carbondale is a really valuable, vibrant community. And it's just so nice to think about, even though it's about money and everybody's uncomfortable, you know, how much do I donate and what's my comfort level and what have you. It's really nice to have people be able to donate at their own level, whether it's $5 or $20 or $20,000 or $200,000. And we've had all of that to be able to say, you know, I was a part of this. I did this. I helped build that pool. Mm-hmm. And I think that really says a lot about Carbondale. And also, people are really invested in its success. I know that I donated more than I've ever donated to anything. And I don't care if my name is on it, but my kids' names will be on it. Mm. And I feel really good about that. And everybody has their own reasons and their own comfort level, but absolutely participate at whatever level you can.
Thank you, Lauren. Brian, you only have about 10 seconds.
Man, I'm just excited for a new pool to be in place for this community. You know, I've been here and watching this project in the last 6 months that I've worked for the town, you know, go from the wood form and the rebar form for our lap pool, so now we're laying brick for a building, and just seeing it come along and getting ready to, you know, just be able to operate a great facility for this community and just have a chance for people to enjoy something new and exciting in this community is something that I'm looking forward to.
Thank you all so much for joining us on Everything Under the Sun.